Welcome back. Well, we have news from two battlefronts in the two-year-old Syrian uprising today. Syria's prime minister escaped assassination attempt earlier today, but that attempt proved that the regime is increasingly vulnerable. The bomb exploded near the prime minister's convoy in a heavily guarded neighborhood of Damascus that's home to top government officials and foreign embassies. Meanwhile, supporters of the regime, the Syrian Electronic Army, claim to have pulled off another successful cyber attack today, taking over parts of the Twitter feed of the British newspaper The Guardian. You might remember last week the same group claimed the successful hacking of AP News Twitter account to send out that false tweet that read, "Breaking, two explosions in the White House, Barack Obama is injured." It took stock markets about 3 minutes to figure out that the tweet was a fake, and in that time, the Dow dropped by more than 150 points. So who or what is the Syrian Electronic Army, and what are their goals? Max Fisher is foreign affairs blogger for The Washington Post. He joins us now. Max, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And remind us, The Guardian joins a very long list of institutions successfully hacked, and this group is claiming responsibility. So remind us who else has been hacked.
Well, it started about 2 months ago. National Public Radio, Human Rights Watch, CBS News, 60 Minutes. They even got a couple of accounts attached to FIFA, the International Soccer Federation. It looks like they're just going after pretty much anybody whose Twitter feed they can hijack to spread their message, which is pretty juvenile and not very sophisticated. Basically, the Syrian Electronic Army was here, Bashar al-Assad is great, and America is a bunch of terrorists.
Is that what happened today with The Guardian? What happened most recently?
Yeah, so there's two interesting parts of this. The first is that the actual attacks that we see, which is all of a sudden The Guardian's Twitter feed is broadcasting these messages about the Syrian Electronic Army was here, you know, support Bashar al-Assad, you know, down with Western imperialism. But what's more interesting is what happened behind the scenes for that attack to happen. These people with this Syrian Electronic Army, which is this very informal kind of, you know, these groups of people, who's, you know, in their mom's basement, who knows where in Syria, send out these messages called phishing attacks. So this is when you get an email when it looks like maybe it's from a friend of yours, somebody you know, pretty innocuous. It says, hey, you should.
Well, in fact, I was going to say, your blog was used as bait.
Right. No, that was pretty embarrassing. Yeah, the Associated Press attack, what they did is they sent these emails out to AP employees that looked like it came from another AP employee. And it said, boy, you guys should really read this link. And it, you know, embarrassingly linked back to my blog. People click on the link. It redirects them to some site that looks innocuous, asks them for some kind of login information, a password, and then it redirects them to the site they thought they were going to go to. So for them, it looks like nothing has happened. But this has stored their password, possibly installed some malware on their computer, and this is how these hackers, wherever they are, managed to get into Twitter accounts and computers belonging to The Guardian, the AP, Human Rights Watch. And they're not very good at it because, well, they're good at getting into the computers, but once they're there, they reveal themselves pretty quickly. They pull off these attacks that have very little effect, with the obvious exception of the AP attack. But they are pretty sophisticated. I mean, they're installing malware in computers in the U.S., in Great Britain, hundreds of miles away. And it gives you a sense of the kind of capability they have, and if they're not putting it to very good use.
Well, you've been saying they're pranks and they're just making these announcements about the Assad regime. But as we saw in the AP attack, they could have disastrous consequences. I mean, they could send a message and people could react to it more than the stock market did. Launching missiles, you know, one doesn't know. So is there concern that this has moved beyond pranks?
You know, that is kind of the question. And on the one hand, the intent is just pranks, but it is real-world damage. The AP attack, the market completely recovered in 3 minutes, but for those 2 minutes when it went down, it erased $136 billion of equity from the stock market. I mean, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. The amount of financial damage that was caused, you know, it came back right away, but it does ask the question, at what point does, because of the vulnerability here, does this cross the line from vandalism into something worse? I mean, at some point, does it become terrorism?
Well, so what are people, first of all, doing to protect themselves?
You know, there's not actually that much you can do. I mean, you can try to be careful of phishing emails, but some of them can be very well crafted. Sometimes these hackers write emails that look like it's written for you by a friend of yours, so of course you're going to click the link. Some people are calling for Twitter to institute something called two-step verification. Gmail has that. Some Apple services have it. The idea is that your account is tied to a specific physical address. What happened with the Twitter hacks is that these hackers got the passwords and then they logged into the accounts from, you know, a basement in Syria or wherever they are, and then were able to send out these tweets. Yeah. If Twitter instituted two-step verification, that would be much harder to do because they would need something like a cell phone number in order to verify that they are who they say they are when they log into the AP account. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little skeptical that Twitter might be willing to do that. The vast majority of its users are just regular people using social media, not particularly worried about getting hacked by the Syrian Electronic Army, and probably not going to want to go through these somewhat onerous security restrictions.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, Syrian President Bashar Assad mentioned the Syrian Electronic Army last summer as an example of young Syrian patriots. Do we know more about who they are? And what they mean, you're noting that in other Arab countries where we've seen pro-democracy uprisings, it's the anti-government activists who've dominated cyberspace. This seems to be the other way around. So who might they be and what does this mean?
Right. So that is what's interesting about them. You know, it looks like they're mostly just young people who use the internet, really like Bashar al-Assad, and are doing this of their own accord and on their free time. You know, it's possible there are some hints that there might be professional hackers who are formally under the direction of the state. Some of the tactics they're using do show a little bit of a higher level of sophistication. But in a way, it doesn't matter whether, you know, Assad's regime is telling them to go hack the AP account or if they're doing it on their own. Because, you know, like you said, when you saw the uprising in, for example, Egypt or in Tunisia or in Libya, you know, it was the rebels and the people who were against the regime were really the only ones who were very web savvy, knew how to use social media. And this meant that even if regime forces could make physical spaces unsafe for these activists to organize, they could always go online. They could always coordinate where to put the next protest, talk to each other. But in Syria, you've had a lot of young people, very web savvy, who support the regime. And this kind of tells you something about the Syrian conflict, where you've got this sectarian element. There are a lot of people, particularly in the Alawite minority, who really do support the regime and really do want to go out and help it. And that means doing some pretty nasty things on the internet.
Yeah. Max Fisher, foreign affairs blogger at The Washington Post, on the Syrian Electronic Army. Fascinating. Max, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, turn away from the news, as you might want to do at times over the summer. We've got a great summer read for you to do just that, and it takes place in a quintessential summer place, Cape Cod. That's in 1 minute, here and now.